Welcome everyone to All About Windows Phone Insight podcast 233, recording this on 17th of October 2017. I am Steve Litchfield, and just to make a change, Rafe did very well last week in an extra length podcast, but we've got somebody we haven't had on for quite a while. We've got guest Matt Lacey. Hi there, Matt.
Hi, Steve. Hi, everyone.
Just remind people roughly where you are in the world, what you do for a living, that sort of thing.
So I now live in Norfolk. I am a developer and writer of sorts, Microsoft MVP in Windows development and general freelancer of app development.
Okay, so you're pretty well ensconced in the Windows and Microsoft world, which is great because that's what this podcast is about. Now, your Windows 10 mobile and Windows 10 generally is secure against what has been termed crack. Every vulnerability age, every major security scare these days seem to have a nickname. This one's cracks, K-R-A-C-K. I just wanted to just reinforce for people listening out there that all your Windows phones were patched in the most recent patch Tuesday. And that also goes back to anniversary update and previous branches that are supported. So basically anything running Windows, you are protected, at least at the device end. Anything further to add, Matt?
No, just Windows was generally better protected against this, even though it affected everyone. I think some of the attacks against Android and Linux were worse. There was always a tick in the Windows box for that respect.
Yeah, it really goes down to how a software manufacturer, like the manufacturer of the operating system, having full control about deploying stuff to every device running that across the world. Now, Apple have done exactly the same. Again, if you've got an iPhone or an iPad or a Mac, etc., they can deploy an OS fix, a security fix, and everyone gets it. The Android world is completely, utterly unique, and it's so diverse and so fragmented that security is quickly becoming, I would argue, its very biggest nightmare.
Yes and no. generally, you always want, auto update always on is a good safety practice if you can do that. So I think with this particular attack, there was an implementation of the wireless protocol, which Android used deep down in its bowels, which made it open to made it more vulnerable in terms of what the attackers could do. But yes, you know, if your phone's not being updated, you're going to have all sorts of problems anyway.
Yeah, and as I've said several times on previous podcasts, that's part of the problem of being in the Android world, which is, let's face it, 90% of the entire smartphone market, is that a vast majority of that are people are not on flagships, they're not on the recent phones, they're not going to getting the updates at all. I can point to people, friends of mine with Android phones, you know, Samsung Galaxy 5, 6s, and some of those people haven't had an update for over a year now, and they're certainly being left high and dry. So I know is the joke really, Matt, is that back in the day, 15 years ago, Windows was seen, absolutely quite rightly, as the most vulnerable platform you could possibly be on. But I would argue that these days it's probably the most secure.
So one of the challenge in the past was that people attacked Windows because that's where everyone was. Now Android's more popular, so it gets attacked a bit. But this is, I think, one of the challenges we start seeing is people attacking protocols and hardware infrastructure and hardware devices which don't get updated as often. While I'm happy that my Windows devices and my Windows phones and my Android phones and my iPhone phones are all relatively secure, this Wi-Fi issue also affects my router, and I've no idea how to update that because it got sent to me by my ISP.
Yeah. In theory, ISPs will update your routers over the air. Certainly, most of the recent ones do. I'm on Virgin Media, and they claim to be sending updates all the time transparently, and I just don't have to worry about it. But there must be people out there who have got older routers, yes, who are also possibly vulnerable. But presumably that means a bad guy is going to have to camp outside your driveway, tapping away on a laptop, and you will actually spot him. It's more a case of you've got a vulnerable phone, perhaps, and you're at a cafe or Wi-Fi hotspot, and there you're in unknown territory. That's probably the biggest infection vector rather than somebody camping outside your house.
Yeah, if someone's camping outside your house, they're attacking just you, but the attacks on this would just be a general, I'll go to somewhere where there are lots of people, and their phones will automatically be trying to connect to Wi-Fi. Therefore, I'm now in the middle of their connection. I'll allow them to connect regardless of where or what they are trying to do. And now I own everything.
Yeah, yeah. Moving on to happier thing. I did notice that because the Windows 10 Mobile fast and slow insiders rings, they're going to get not only getting this new branch 1709, proving that in theory they're they're eligible for this so-called fall creators update, they've actually got an insider's release now. So if you're on the fast or slow ring, you can actually be on what's called the fall creators update for Windows 10 Mobile. And it's not something I thought we'd even see pushed to things like Lumia 950s and so forth, but it really seems, Matt, as if all the phones which are officially creators update compatible, including the right down to the Lumia 640, they're all going to get pushed this in a few weeks' time, and they'll all be on, FCU, as it were.
So I'm sure there are exceptions, but every time there's a new update, Microsoft claims that everyone will go for going forward. If you get this update, you'll get the next, and they're past the area of the hard cutoffs. But there will always be some where if you've got an old device, you can't expect it to get everything forever. But if you got the creators update, full creators update should be straightforward.
Yeah, and they also, whenever they issue a list of devices to get a particular branch, and they say all these devices will get the next branch, quite often they do drop a device or two off the end. I think in this case, somebody pointed out that the Alcatel Fear 6L, if I've got the device name right, well, I've never even held one, but apparently that was Creators Update compatible, but it's been dropped off the list. So but if you've got a mainstream Lumia 950 or Alcatel Idol 4 Pro, etc., then you should be fine. Matt, can I ask what you're using as your main Windows phones?
I'm one of these people who carries three phones because I always keep in touch with everything. So I have a Wiley Swift Android, an iPhone 6 Plus, and a 950 XL, which I'll use every day. I also have a 1520 running Windows 10 Mobile, which is always on by my desk. So a bit of variety there.
Have you seen the Idol 4 Pro?
I haven't seen it, no. I'm really keen to see if this Wiley Fox Windows Mobile actually comes out, because I've been quite impressed with for the price, their Android hardware is really good. So if the Windows Mobile version ever comes out, I'll probably pick one of those up. But
I got the impression from the launch coverage over in Germany that they were kind of rebadging an existing plastic reference design on that front. I think you might be disappointed if you're expecting the unibody pseudo-premium metal build of the Android phones. I think you might be disappointed there, Matt.
No, I'm expecting it to be cheap and cheerful.
Okay.
But in terms of upgrading other members of my household, that's what I want. I don't want to spend £400 on a phone for my children. But if I can get something comparable to the Android device I've got at the moment, which is a little bit slow, there's a few quirks I don't like, but for £100 or whatever it cost me when I got it, it's pretty good value.
How are your children going to react to being given a Windows 10 mobile phone rather than Android or iPhone?
So my son has been using the 1520 mostly.
Okay.
For the last few years, so he's perfectly fine with that. But he exists mostly on YouTube, so it's not a problem.
Yeah. Okay. Now, just moving on to other things I've been writing about this week. I did put up what I call my Q4 2017 to-do list for the Windows 10 Mobile enthusiast, in which I wanted to just break down a bit of honesty, really, and a bit of reality as to where we are in terms of, for example, you can't really buy the Windows 10 Mobile phones, certainly from Microsoft, the Lumias. You can't buy them anymore apart from in clearance bins. Spares apparently are quite hard to come by if you should break it or something should fail inside. Even batteries, you can still get them, but it's very much hit and miss whether you get a genuine item or not. How big an issue do you think this is? No phones, no spares, no repairs going forwards?
It's an issue if you're really tied to specific devices and you really don't want to change. And if you're holding on to your Windows 10 at the moment, that's probably you. If you've had the device for 2 years and not looking to upgrade, you need to think about looking after it a bit more carefully. So I saw your list and it made me think I've got this box full of devices. I should probably go and make sure they're all on the latest thing, and I'm looking after them and see which ones have completely bricked and which ones might still be usable.
And you should also charge some of their batteries. A common mistake people make is to leave a phone on the shelf or in a drawer for 3 years and they come back and find the battery's been at 0% most of that time and the chemicals have long since degraded.
I'm sure that's happened to a few of mine.
Yeah. Just going down my list, number one, look after your Windows 10 mobile phone. Case it, coddle it, protect it. I think that's self-evident, and most of the people listening to this do look after their phones. And as I was saying to Ray from the previous podcast, there are still lots of people on Lumia 930s, and that by the time that finishes its support in spring 2019, it will be 5.5 years old, I think. And 5.5 years for a smartphone in this day and age is just pretty impressive, really.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah. Number two, I said look out for people selling off stuff in bargain basements and clearance bins. I don't know whether you just do this, but I know quite a number of our listeners and readers do this, just sort of keeping an eye on Amazon and eBay and other seller and other emporiums, just looking for people selling off, you know, classic devices at rock bottom prices. I know the Idol 4S with Windows 10, with a long cumbersome name over in America, that Microsoft have been selling that at an absolute steal price for the last 3 or 4 months. So if you're in North America, then do grab one of those. But I'm sure there'll be similar sales, if there haven't been already, on the Idol 4 Pro, for example, over here in the UK. The thing about the batteries is interesting. I think if you've got a 950 or 950 XL, as you have, Matt, I would recommend you, again, try and find a replaceable battery, a spare battery, sooner rather than later, because the longer we go on, the less chance there'll be original batteries on the likes of Amazon, the more chance there'll be fakes.
Yeah, for the last few years, I've never worried about the age of devices because there's always been new ones coming along. So it's a new thing to have to think about. Yeah. Switching to a new device every couple of months means now I need to think about looking after them a bit better.
Yeah, and in my number four in my to-do list, I'll put the links to the show notes, by the way, I do mention for the very first time, and if you still use Windows Phone 8.1, then don't. Basically, as I reported on the site back in July, it has reached end of support, which means there will be no more security fixes, no more patches, no more updates of any kind. And admittedly, there hasn't been any for a while. But I think that given the current state of smartphone security and worries in the world, you'd have to be pretty masochistic to still use an 8.1 phone as your main phone, really, carrying it out and about in all environments, all Wi-Fi hotspots. Would you say that's fair?
It's fair, but I think it's also quite common. If you're not upgrading the phone and the upgrade isn't being pushed to you, then people just don't do it. It's that fear of change. If it breaks, what am I going to do? How am I going to deal with it? It's easier not to upgrade it. So I do know people still running Windows Phone 8 devices, still running Windows Phone 8, who could have updated, some who couldn't, and are stuck on the old device. But you know, the device works. The few apps they use still work. They can still make phone calls. They can still send messages. It's all they need. It's not an issue. And on the day it breaks, then they'll get a new one and worry about it then.
Have you told your friends, though, about the upgrade advisor, that they can update this new OS?
So yes, but it's the issue is that there aren't the perceived benefits for it. The risk of something going wrong when they update, because historically that's happened to people. You know, everyone's got update problems about apps and Windows on the PC, they've had those experiences. There's the perceived reward for the change isn't worth it.
And then they blame you when it goes wrong. Yeah.
They just ask me what to get next.
And finally, I put look around at hardware and other platforms and see what you fancy. I mean, you like me, you've got various phones and various platforms, and keeping an eye on new device releases. I was quite impressed, as I said to Rafe last week, with the Galaxy Note 8, really, is the all-singing, all-dancing device that does everything. And slightly appalled by some of the new releases coming out, especially in the Android world, where they're axing common features. And, well, even the new iPhone, really, axing the iPhone 10, axing the fingerprint sensor. We're only just getting the fingerprint sensor in the Windows 10 mobile world, and they're already taking it away in the iPhone world. And in the Android world now, some of the devices are taking away the headphone jack, which I consider something of an essential for any portable device. What would be your ideal device? If I were to take all your phones away from you now, Matt, and not restricting you to Windows 10 mobile, let's say I had to say, Matt, choose your ideal phone, choose the very best Android phone you could now, which one would you go for?
I think I would go for the Pixel 2 and lament the fact of lack of headphone jack, but that's kind of what technology is forcing on me. So I think I'd have to get some wireless headphones to go with it, and I, if money was an option, that's the phone I'd get right now.
Yeah, well, I'm still a rebel. I still use a Nokia 808 every now and then, which was obsolete about 5 years ago, and I rejoice in telling people that on Twitter every now and then, just to prove that some of these old operating systems, the old hardware, is still alive. And you probably saw my tweet a few days ago where I was charging some of my phones that are over 10 years old just to keep the batteries alive so I can carry on playing with them. But that's just me. I'm a rebel.
Yeah, the Nokia Android option is intriguing, but I don't think it's not high enough spec to take a risk on it, and yet it's not cheap enough to be just a disposable option. So it's a bit of a tricky one. But yeah, the appeal of a Nokia device still lingers. There's still good thoughts there, happy thoughts for Nokia in the past.
Yeah, in theory, I get a Nokia 8 for review next week, and I can, of course, people are dying for me to put it up against the 950 XL as, you know, the last great Nokia design, albeit with a Microsoft badge, and also put it against the old Nokia N8, the Symbian phone, just because the N8 bit of the name is the same. So that could be an interesting head-to-head.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see what you have to say about that.
You wanted to chat about a few things. First of all, we had the Joe Belfiore tweets, which Rafe and I talked about in detail last week on last week's podcast. But you've been at a Windows Developer Day in London last week, and you had some of their feedback about how they were viewing the Joe's tweets. So take it away.
So what I found surprising about the whole announcement was that they made the announcement at all. Because Microsoft typically don't talk about things going away or them stopping investing in it. If you ask, they will say that they don't invest in things, they don't kill things off, they just stop investing in them.
Yeah.
So why did Joe come out with this thing at that time? Why did he mention it 2 weeks ago? It seems a bit odd in that respect. I know there are people within Microsoft who would rather the announcement had been made a year earlier, so people didn't take it as much of a shock and weren't pinning their hopes on a phone coming along at some point. But also from a developer perspective, the announcement came out a week before a big Microsoft developer announcement, so that's a bit poorly timed. So that's tricky. There are still developers who are... I had people ask me last week, in UWP stop doing mobile, does this mean they should stop building? And it was kind of strange that it's strange, it's disappointing, but it's not surprising that developers think this way because of how things are historically. But if anyone was building UWP apps just for mobile on the hope of getting rich, I think they were setting themselves up for disappointment anyway.
Yeah, which presumably they if you're building a UWP application for quote Windows 10, optimizing it and building it for mobile isn't that big a step though. And there are a number of developers. I mean, I reviewed an app by Roxy, the PDF conversion tool. They've got several good PDF based apps, and they're a professional development company producing Windows 10 applications for hybrids and Surface and laptop and desktop and who knows, HoloLens, whatever, but also for mobile, and they work really well on all of those platforms. So there are some clear examples of some really high profile, good productivity business applications that are still being produced with that mobile skew built included at the build time. So I didn't see why a lot of developers shouldn't keep including mobile.
Yeah, while it's so developers need to think of building apps from a business perspective, and while it makes sense to, or if it's just appealing as a out of interest, then keep doing it. But you know, don't pin your hopes on a Surface phone coming along and getting millions and millions and millions of users.
Yeah, I think the Surface phone is a bit of a moot point, really. And we still think, I still think there will be some kind of foldable tablet stroke phablet sometime next year. I think it'll be called Surface Mobile, and I don't think it'll be marketed in traditional phone channels or phone shops at all, which will instantly limit the numbers they're going to sell. And I also think it's going to be very expensive, but I think something will appear. But yeah, I think the very idea of building something to get rich, I think if you want to get rich, you should need to be building for Android or iOS simply because, as you say, the sheer numbers. But there are a lot of people who like the platform, who like living in the Microsoft world. They like producing applications that they use themselves, that they want other people to use. And if they get a part-time income from it, then that pays off the development work.
Yeah, there are benefits to it. I just don't expect lots and lots of mobile users, I think is the message.
Yeah, well, I've been writing and working in the mobile world now since 1993, and I haven't got rich. So I think most of us do most of this for the love of it and because it's interesting and satisfying, and that's good enough for me. Now, you also wanted to talk about Windows Template Studio. I have no idea what this is. It sounds very developer-y, but I'm sure it's interesting. So do give us the gen.
So it is very developer-y, but it's something I've been working on for the last few months. So you might remember that there used to be a thing called Windows App Studio.
Yeah.
Which would allow anybody to create first a Windows phone and then a Windows 10, Windows Universal app. And if you were involved in that, you might be aware that that's gone away now. But some of the effort that was going into that has now gone into a product called Windows Template Studio. And while Windows App Studio was about anybody being able to point at some data and make an app from it, Windows Template Studio is a new tool to help developers get started building UWP apps faster. So any developers listening, go to aka.ms/WTS install and hopefully we'll make your app building that much easier.
And it's something you've programmed?
So this is a joint project between Microsoft and some of the developers in the community, and because I've had a lot of free time in the last few months, I've been putting a lot of effort into it. So yeah, I'm for someone who's not being paid by Microsoft, I'm putting far too much time into it.
I referred to you to my previous comments about being satisfying and interesting. No, you also wanted to chat about how Microsoft see mixed reality, virtual reality, augmented reality, etc. As the next big thing. Do you want to amplify those thoughts?
So with the loss of Windows Mobile from the ecosystem, the Microsoft focus and the Windows focus is now very much on the future and what comes next. And everyone seems pretty much convinced that's AR or VR or MR, depending on who you ask. And I thought it was noteworthy and interesting of discussion and exploration, this idea that different people are looking at things in different ways. So you've got companies who are either going headsets, so with Microsoft and with HoloLens, and also Oculus and Facebook, and also PlayStation do physical headsets, whereas iOS and Android are looking at using your device as a way into augmented reality and virtual reality. And there were these two different approaches. I don't know if both will continue to exist, if one will win, one will lose, if both will sit side by side in the future. I didn't know if you had any thoughts on this as a extension of mobile, Steve.
Every time I look at mixed reality / VR / AR, I'm using dedicated goggles over your eyes and headphones over your ears and all of that. You're really isolated from the world. And while the things you can do in it are incredibly cool and incredibly immersive, and for gaming especially, it's just unbelievable. But at the same time, it is a niche. It is a large niche, possibly, especially with the gaming world, but it's still a niche, and it's not going to go. You're not going to see men and women sitting in, Starbucks wearing one of these things. At the same time, the other approach of using your smartphone screen for everything and the smartphone cameras, sort of Pokemon Go style or augmented reality, I think that has got uses, but even that got limited uses. Even that's going to be niche. Even that's going to be more a novelty than any real use. I think that where we've got to today, where you've got a smartphone that basically does everything with a touch interface, with a fairly large screen, a really good camera, a fast data connection to the internet. Maybe you might have a smartwatch or a wearable sort of connected by Bluetooth. Maybe you have Bluetooth headphones. But we've kind of got there. I think the whole concept of the internet and services and hardware and software in your pocket, I think we've got there. Do you really need to have things overlaid on your smartphone screen as you hold your phone camera up to the world? Isn't that going to be something you might use once a day and then forget about it?
So I think you're right that it's not going to be and every situation and every experience or in every use case experience, and the dedicated devices might be more practical for a few isolated uses. But in the world seems to be pointing towards this is the next big thing.
I've heard that before.
Which we've heard before. But also there was some discussion out of Facebook about we can't even yet understand what this is going to be like. So it's hard it's easy to write it off when we don't understand what it's going to be like. But from a Windows and a Microsoft perspective, I think with Android and iOS doing lots of these things, how do those, on an augmented view on your mobile, how does that translate to a Windows equivalent when we haven't got a Windows mobile? But if the view is going to be a Windows PC or Windows tablet and an iPhone or an iPhone or an Android phone, how do those experiences translate? That's curious. I'm trying to understand and think about that.
Yeah, still very, very early days. And just thinking of, as I'm a family man and thinking of people in the real world, if you're an 18-year-old male or female and you really enjoy your gaming and VR, you could spend hours a day submerged in one of these headset systems and get a lot out of it. But you are shut off. Where if you've got a partner or children or pets or parents or people you're responsible for and who are responsible for you, and there's some relationship going there, you don't want to shut yourself away for 2, 3, 4 hours a day. You want, so in that sense, having something that's augmented on your phone screen when you need to look something up, when you need to access some information, but you're still fully available to people around you, that does make a lot more sense to me. And I wish we had something like that on Windows 10 Mobile now, because I could try it all out. As it is, like you, we have to dig out an iPhone or Android phone even to play with it.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens now, I think, is the best we can say at the moment, isn't it?
That's very open-ended.
Yeah. I've written off enough things that I don't fully understand to know that it's not always wise to do that. I will wait a bit longer and reserve judgment. But it kind of feels like there's going to be two different camps of development. And If I go for the Windows view, I don't want to be left out and have picked the wrong one.
If it was up to me, I would actually have carried on with the Google Glass idea, where you literally clip something on either to some dummy spectacles or to your actual spectacles, and it puts up a simplified heads-up view of notifications and basic sat-nav instructions, maybe even the opportunity of a augmented reality information about something you're viewing. The Google Glass idea absolutely struck a chord with me. I thought, this is the future. And it was just a real shock to me to find that that wasn't the future, and it's not where Google wanted to go, and it's not where the rest of the industry wanted to go. But that original Google Glass concept is the one that seems by far the most obvious to me.
So from a notification perspective, that makes perfect sense. And there are things I would rather see pop up on my glasses than have my wrist vibrate. That would be more useful. From a social acceptance perspective, I think that the fact there was a camera on them recording what people were doing and looking at people all the time, that was the big problem. If there was a version of the glass without a camera, that might be more socially acceptable. But I think people have now learned that if people got a computer on their face, they've got a camera as well. So it might come in time, but I think it's a shame that's gone as well. Yeah.
Now, there's a story we've had in our show notes for the last couple of weeks. Rafe and I didn't get round to it, so I want to put it in this week anyway. And my title of the article was "You've Got to Be in It to Win It," which is rather an obvious cliche, but it basically saying that Microsoft is losing mobile because they haven't got skin in the game, and this is somewhat obvious. They stopped making the Lumia 950 mid 2016. But Matt, my contention is that I know they had to kind of simplify and shut down the huge Nokia distribution manufacturing empire because they just couldn't maintain it all. It was just far too big and costly. But there's no reason in this day and age why Microsoft couldn't have gone to an OEM in China and said, look, we need someone to make these 950s, 950 XLs going forwards. How much will you charge per unit? Let's get this going. And they didn't do that. And by having nothing in the game, I think they are in serious danger. Well, they have been in serious danger of losing it and are losing it as we speak.
So I think that's true. And there's only so much money Microsoft could throw at it for very, very little return proportionally. I think it depends how you think about mobile. So I heard last week one idea that Apple didn't win mobile, Google didn't win mobile, Facebook won mobile, YouTube won mobile, because that's where all the eyeballs are. That's where all the time's gone. And while Apple makes a lot of money selling high-priced, high-end hardware, they're not where all the eyeballs are. And that's what for a lot of people is the value. So for the years I've said Microsoft can't not be in mobile. They have to be in there in some way. And I think from a Microsoft perspective rather than a Windows perspective, they are now on mobile, but they run on other people's OS, which is very much a Satya thing. It would never have happened under Bill or
Steve Ballmer.
Name escaped me. but from a business perspective, from where the industry seems to be going, I think Microsoft are saying that they're never going to get a large percentage of devices running their OS in the medium term, let alone the short term. So to rather be cut out entirely, they're going to invest in the software and services on other platforms. And for even on Windows, the software and the services is where the money is for Microsoft in a lot of cases anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just saying it was a shame they didn't go to some OEM and say, let's do a deal. But I guess that's water under the bridge.
I think we might see that again. It depends if when JB says we're not focusing on mobile, what does not focusing on mean? Does that mean we're on the back burner for a few years? Does that mean we'll see what happens in the future? We've got things like, you know, they still have this mobile version of Windows. Is that going to go away in 2 years? Are there going to be other devices coming along? There's been talk about this Andromeda OS variant and some focus on mobile there. Does that mean there won't be any devices? What does Windows on ARM mean? How different is a tablet with a cell area and a SIM card in it and a microphone and some software? How different is that from a phone? So it's going to be interesting to see where that goes forward. I don't think it's entirely gone, but maybe that's just me holding on to our straws.
I have a feeling that was the slinkiest link ever into an article over on your blog that you wanted us to link to called The End of Windows Mobile / Phone Just Leaves More Questions. It sounded like that was kind of a précis of your article. Is that fair?
So, yeah, some of those ideas and some of those questions are things I've been thinking about in terms of what not focusing on mobile, what that means and what this really means long term for Microsoft and phones. Or pocket-sized computers, which we carry around with us, which are what phones are. What that means 2 years, 5 years down the line, it's going to be hard to tell.
Yeah. Where can people find this article of yours?
On my blog, mrlacy.com.
Okay. And what are you on Twitter, or do you follow? Not use Twitter.
I am on Twitter. I'm mrlacy. I'm Mr. Lacy. It's my initials, really, but then my initials are MR.
Okay, we'll put links to all of this stuff in the show notes. Also, thanks to Michael O'Hara and J. Bernard Walsh for writing in. We've got long letters there, but both addressed to myself and Rafe, so I'll try and cover them with Rafe in either next week or whenever he's next on. But thanks for writing anyway. And any other contributions, just email me, slitchfield@gmail.com or on Twitter @SteveLitchfield. Thanks for coming on, Matt. I think we're done for now. I'll let you get on with your day.
Thanks, Steve. It's been good to talk to you.
Yeah, and we'll catch you next week on the All About Windows Phone Insight podcast.